that you are to be refined as gold, even finer than gold that perisheth. Isn't that right? I don't know where I'm at in my notes. I'm just up here having a good time. But you'll be refined as gold. All right. Okay, who's going to do this? Who's going to dwell with the devouring fire? And who's going to dwell with these everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. Don't talk about the body of Christ. Huh? Don't talk about your brothers and your sisters. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions. Let me get off of this. Shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, and stoppeth the ears from hearing the blood, and shutteth the eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. That's the word and the spirit. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Now, let me just get this while I'm right here at it. Who's going to see the king? Those that are dwelling with the burning and the fire. Is that what verse 17 says? Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Who? Those in verse 14 who are dwelling with the devouring fire and the everlasting burnings. Who are getting straight? They shall behold the land, that's the kingdom, that is very far off. And that far off is not far away. That literally means it stretches afar. I think NIV says stretches afar. It's a big place. It's the whole earth. All right. I'll give you this, and then I'll get back to Isaiah 48. We're right here at it. You got to see this one. This is a scripture that'll kind of, I think, capsule all this. Isaiah 48. And verse 10, God speaking here says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with or not like or not through silver. In other words, you're really not going into a real furnace. It's not a literal furnace. This is what he's saying. You're not going to be really chunked into literal flames. I have chosen thee. Now, isn't that good? We didn't have anything to do with it. He chose us. But what is he choosing us in? What does Isaiah 48:10 say? I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And Jesus says, many are chosen. Is that what he said? Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because they won't get in this furnace. They won't let God straighten them out. They keep their lumps. They keep their sins. They keep their Ananias and Sapphira. They keep their bad blood. They don't let God touch that thing in their life, and they don't get it out. They don't judge it. Many, many are called. That goes right along with Isaiah 4, doesn't it? The whole world, seven women, all the fullness of the churches, they're called. Few are going to go. Now that's Bible. Now look why he's going to do it. Verse 11. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, twice. For whose sake? For God's sake. Not for your sake, not for my sake. For his sake is he doing it. He's touching the things in your life. He's touching the things in my life. He's burning you up. He's straightening you up. He's burning me up. He's straightening me up for his own sake. For how should my name be polluted? Now, had Ananias and Sapphira, had that sin gone right on along and it had not been judged, what would have happened? Right. it would have polluted and corrupted the body of Christ. And if Satan comes outwardly against you and he can't get you there, he's going to try to get inwardly. Because if he can't get you on the outside, he'll try to corrupt you on the inside. If he can't come against you outwardly with tongue lashings, now the apostles are going to be beaten at the end of the chapter, and you and I will probably never be beaten. Not with rods, not with a cat of nine tails, not with a scourge. But how many have felt the tongue lashings of others on your back? You see, you're going to come again. The lion's coming. But so is the serpent. He'll try outwardly and he'll try inwardly. Now, I will not have my name polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. No flesh shall glory in his presence. No flesh. That's why I want Delbert to burn up. All I want to show is Christ. I don't want you to see Delbert. I want you to see the Christ nature in me. And that will only happen if I allow it to happen. If I allow him to burn out of me the junk and straighten out the lumps. Now, let's get back to Acts chapter 5. I really wanted to hit that, and I really wanted to hit it hard. And if I don't finish the rest of this, then I just won't. I'll just quit in a few minutes anyway. But you've got your notes, and it's pretty self-explanatory, and you can open it up yourself. But you need to know God's dealings with you and how he deals with you. We hear such an evergreen Christianity today. You know, everything's always rosy, evergreen. Pine trees and cedar trees and, you know, always green. But there are going to be some winter times in your life. And it ain't always the devil. And we have had a devil preach to us that is bigger and badder and meaner than God. And it ain't so. One day, when we're ready and the Lord really lets me, I'm going to bring out the book of Job. He can't do nothing without asking God first. Acts 5, where am I? Find a place to start. All right, let me tell you what this sin was not. This sin was not, and four thoughts on page 24 of your notes. The first thing, it was not in having possessions. Now, we have gone through it, and I don't think it's very, very much of a appropriated gospel today. But there was a time when we were taught that if you had anything, then you must be a sinner. And you couldn't prosper. And I think the prosperity message, if it has done anything, it has fixed that. But a lot of people feel that if a person prospers, then he's not living right. And this sin was not that. These people had possessions. Now they sold them for the work of the ministry. But their sin was not that they had the possession. And then number two, it was not in selling the land for gain. It was their land. They could do with it what they wanted to. They could make money. Businessmen, Christian businessmen, many of them are Christians. Did you catch that? Many Christian businessmen aren't. But many Christian businessmen are Christians. And they are for gain. And they sell and buy for gain. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's theirs. Number three, they would not have sinned had they given none of the money. It was a free will offering. It wasn't a command to sell that and give the money. They did it because, first of all, Barnabas had done it. And Barnabas had been exalted. And they wanted that, except they didn't want to give it all. They didn't want to give it all. There's people in the churches today that don't want to give it all. There's probably people right in here today that don't want to give it all. And I'm not talking about money. How do I know that? Because I know I'm not giving it all. Is that right? So their sin was not in that they didn't do that. And they didn't sin, number four, they didn't sin because they didn't want to give it all. That's just what I was talking about. That's not just talking about money. In every church, there are those who refuse to give God all. But you don't get killed by the Holy Ghost for not giving it all. And then let's read point E, number one, what their sin was. They had stood in hypocrisy and gave the appearance as if they had given it all when they had not given it all. They had allowed Satan an entrance. Now this is it. They had allowed Satan an entrance in and had lied to the Holy Ghost and to God. Their sin was not against men, but was against God. It had allowed the serpent to inject its venom into the body of Christ. And if you want God to deal with you, you allow an entrance for the serpent into this body of Christ. Oh, yeah, I better not. Where am I now? I got all Isaiah 4 and all that. I was way ahead of myself. Wrote this in my notes. Either sin had to go or the Holy Spirit. Do you know why in so many denominational churches there is no activity of the Holy Spirit? It's simple. He ain't there. If sin is dominant, he's going. Is that true? If you look, and you probably don't keep up with it as much as I do and hear about it as much as I do, but many, in this last 2 years, many pastors, preachers, evangelists have fallen into the sins of the lust of the flesh. That is God dealing with them. He ain't going to allow it. Now, they had plenty of time to get it straightened out. He's love, and he'll first of all, he'll let you judge it. But if you don't judge it, he will. He ain't going to allow me to come in here week after week after week in hypocrisy and stand behind this pulpit and try to preach to you how to live if I can't live it. If I'm living after the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, he'll deal with me. All right. Let's forget about the notes. I got it in here, but I wasn't going to get it. Let's get it. Joshua chapter 7. This is all I can get tonight. I'm sorry, and people on the tape, I'm sorry that I haven't finished this chapter, but if you don't come here, write me, and I'll send you the notes. Joshua chapter 7 is the church of the wilderness, Israel, as it goes into the land of Canaan. And the book of Joshua is a book of conquest. And Joshua in the Hebrew, if you took that same Hebrew word and brought it to the Greek, is the same word Jesus, Yeshua. So you may immediately see a type. Now, you may need, I'll just throw this at you and you can have it. Hosea is the same thing. Hosea in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New. But anyway, here when in Joshua chapter 7, in chapter 6, they take Jericho. Everybody knows about Jericho. But something happens in chapter 7 because they go against the city of Ai and they come back in defeat. And Joshua is told by a word of knowledge, by the word of the Lord, that there's sin in the camp. Everybody remember the story. Now, they have been told and given strict instructions to leave the accursed thing alone. Leave it alone. The gold and the silver were to come to the treasury, but everything else was to be utterly destroyed in Jericho. Everything. It was a first fruits offering unto God. Everything. And this man in Joshua chapter 7, his name was Achan, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan. And there's all of his names. And let me get this. This was good. The son of Cheremai, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Now, Judah means praise. The word Judah, if you look it up, it means praise. Also, Judas Iscariot. Judas means praise. Judas Iscariot. There is a false praise. You can be praising the Lord, but is it in spirit and in truth? You see, there is a false praise. This guy was from the praise tribe. But he got taken in by the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Drop down to verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face upon the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And then God reveals to him in verse 7, in verse 10, what had happened. Now, let's read down through here. This is what I want to do. Just finish up right here tonight. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. The body of Christ hath sinned. The church in the wilderness hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dismissed also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. How many times when you know there's something in your life that shouldn't be there? Brother was sharing about it before service. There's something in your life that you know that shouldn't be there, and your prayer life is greatly affected. Your spiritual warfare is greatly affected. Things just don't go right in your life. Has that ever happened to you? And you know what it is, but you're so stubborn that you won't get it out. Is anybody like that besides me? Well, that's what this is talking about. Israel, the church, cannot stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. And I'm going to tell you, 90% of the church world is accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. See, God can't stay with sin. Sin's got to go, or God. Acts chapter 5. Holy Ghost had to stay, or either Ananias and Sapphira had to go. Neither will I be with thee anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Purge the blood. Up. Sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, and Ananias and Sapphira. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until, time word, until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes or your denominations, and it shall be that the tribe or the churches which the Lord shall take shall come according to the families. Churches have families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come of the household. These churches have families, and they're like Sister Cooper's family has got three boys. You see how I'm bringing this into you now? Denominations, Assemblies of God. Churches, First Assembly of God of Lafayette. Families, the body. Households, LeBron, Norman, Mickey. Okay? Now, I'm not picking on them. You understand that. I'm just using that as an example. All right. Households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. You and me individually. It's going to come all the way down to where it's really at. We can talk about the church world, and we can talk about the denominations, and we can talk about the First Baptist and the First Methodist and the Presbyterians and the Charismatas and the AGs. We can talk about all of that, but then it's going to come right down to here, and then it's going to come into my home, my family, but finally it's coming where? Right where it's at. That's God's way. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be what? Pay me now or pay me later. Shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he hath wrought folly in the body of Christ. Let's see if I can jump over here a little bit and get to date. Verse 18. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Praise, was taken. Now, let me just put it out here. I just mentioned to you a while ago that a lot of pastors and preachers, evangelists, fall into the sins of the lust of the flesh. Now, even after that had happened, God gave them opportunities to repent. That's New Testament. They can repent and get straightened out. They can get it burnt out of them. They can allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to get them straightened out. But they did not, you see. And finally what happens, now listen, this is truth if I've ever told you truth. Finally what happens is they refuse to let God deal with that thing. So what God eventually will do is reveal that whole thing to their family and then to the church. And then they will be stoned and burned. I'm telling you the truth. God dealt individually with every one of those people. And they would not straighten it out. And because they would not, he is not going to allow nobody to pollute his name. Did we read that tonight? And he is not going to allow any flesh to get glory in his presence. First of all, if they do not deal it, get it out, it will be revealed to their family. If it has not been straightened out, it will be revealed to the church. And then they will be stoned. And then they will be burnt. And that's what happened to those men in a spiritual sense. All right. You allow something like that to happen to me. I don't get it straightened out. All right? My family finds out about it. The church, then you find out about it. How many of you are going to sit under that kind of ministry? And what's this city going to start doing to me? Stoning me. Now, they might not literally take me out there and line me up against that wall and throw rocks at me, which may be a better fate if they did. But I would be stoned and burnt out of this city. Is that true? Let's see what happened to Achan. And then Achan talking in verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, and I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent and the silver under it. Let me read and then I'll come back. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the church, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua on all of Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." Who will? Not the devil. "The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel done what? The church done what? Stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. I'm closing now. I really am. In the midst of your tent, your tabernacle, is hidden a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. And it's all hidden, and you don't want nobody to see it. There's parts of your life you don't want me to see. You don't want your husband to see. You don't want your wife to see. And you sure don't want this church to see. In your tent. Know ye not, you are the temple, tabernacle, tent of the Holy Ghost. And in your tent, back there in the back closet, back there in the back closet, up on the top shelf, back there in the back closet, up on the top shelf, way back over there in the corner, back there in the back closet, up on the top shelf, way back over there in the corner, a little cardboard box, in a little paper bag, is your Babylonian garment, wedge of silver, and 200 shekels of silver, of gold, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. And unless you get it out, God's going to show it to the whole congregation. He's got to, or the word's a lie. Happened to me, but I dealt with it. Y'all are like, nosy. Nothing like that. Do you hear that?
Yes.
And you know what it is. And it's in your temple. Get it out. Get the Ananias and the Sapphira out of you. Get the bad blood out of you. Get your lump straightened out. God's purpose is that he use all of us. All of us. Let's stand. Well, I think I got four verses. What am I saying tonight? Simply this. Recognize God's dealings with you. Don't blame everything on the devil. And understand that the things that tick you off the most are the things that are saving you. Brother Roger, your son is saving you. Tammy's saving you. God sent children to parents to save parents. God sent saints to churches to save pastors. That's a heavy word tonight, isn't it? And I really didn't, you know, I really thought I'd get through with Acts 5. But God's telling us something. Deal with yourself. Don't look at the unrighteousness of your wife or your husband or your children. Look at the lumps in you, the bad blood in you. Don't talk about the body of Christ. Let's work on our own righteousness. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, I feel the presence of the Spirit.